blessing to be able to meet for worship this morning. And it's timely that we look at this subject of guarding the heart in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. We live in a day and age when security is paramount in many people's minds. You go to that business and you see the fencing, you see the cameras, you see the setup, you even see security officers throughout the evening, you even see the dogs that might be located on the premises. From a homely sense, we see cars and houses locked, bikes chained to rails down at the local train station, valued possessions concealed and placed in secure locations, cameras installed, animals placed in protected shelters, children guarded out of concern for their safety. That guarding, that security, that keeping, that protection factor is very much paramount in people's minds, and we can identify with the reasons why people are that way minded. Today we want to look at quite a different level of security, and that's about guarding your heart. Somewhat different to those other items mentioned, but yet it's a matter of guarding the heart. And I believe the matter is needful and necessary. We're going to be considering today what is the heart, the command to guard your heart, the reason for guarding your heart, and ways to guard your heart, and we'll be working through those. Let's pray as we commence this morning's ministry. Father, we just pray that you would guide my words and the meditations of my heart. May they be acceptable in thy sight. May it be about the glory of Christ. Help us to avoid distractions. May our focus, our ears, our hearts be on learning from thee, even this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we commence this whole subject of guarding the heart, we need to look at what the heart is. And in concordances, dictionaries, there seems to be that uniformity that the heart may refer to the physical organ of the body, yes. May also refer to the inner or middle part of a thing, like the heart of the sea, which is referring to the midst of the sea. It's looking at that centrality factor, the centre of the sea. It can also refer to the inner man contrasted to the outer man. Deuteronomy 30 verse 14, but the word of God is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. 1 Samuel 16, 7, man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. It's that inner in contrast to the outer. For as man thinketh in his heart, so is he. It's coming back to that inward aspect of man. Also the seat of desire, inclination, or will. In Exodus 35:5, we read of the bringing of gifts for the temple. And the beginning of gifts, the bringing of gifts, not the beginning, the bringing of gifts, was very much in mind when we read in the Word of God that whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it. And those offerings were being brought from those who were of a willing heart. Psalm 86:12, I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with my whole heart. It's that seed of that desire or inclination or will which is coming from the heart. It's a seed of emotion. And I'm just reading some verses from each one, but there's more within Scripture. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Deuteronomy 6:5. So you're loving the Lord thy God with all thy heart. It's that seed of emotion and that love that's going to be directed toward God. There's a seed of knowledge and wisdom. Solomon prayed for an understanding heart. We're told to lay up God's word in our heart. It's a seat of conscience and moral character. The heart is the fountain of man's deeds. And really, in a lot of ways, we see, and as we're going to study the heart, there are reference to the heart that's looking at that fountain of man's deeds. You look at that fountain and what flows, what's outgoing from that heart accordingly. David walked in the uprightness of his heart, 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 6. It was the uprightness of his heart. Reference to Hezekiah with a perfect heart, Isaiah 38, 3. There's the need for clean hands and a pure heart to stand before God, Psalm 24 and verse 4. It's that coming back to that heart that's with that moral character. It's that seat of the moral character toward God. It can be also the seat of rebellion and pride. God said in Genesis 8:21 that the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. And so those imaginations were of an evil nature. The word heart is the centre of anything, like I was saying with the sea, but it's broader than that. It's the centre of the man's inward life and the hidden springs of that personal life, because according to our inclinations, desires, affections, thoughts, perceptions, purpose, it's going to flow out from that centre of man's inward life. It's that hidden springs of the personal life. So you've got this source, this fountain from which aspects of our life are coming forth. And the scholars come back to this point that these things flow from those springs. It's the actions flowing, whether they be good or bad, and the heart is at the base of these desires, words, and actions. It's that central focus of our very being. It's our heart. The heart stands for the inner being of man, the man himself, all his thoughts, desires, words, and actions flow from deep within this fountain. And so as we look through it, we're going to see that it's from this heart, this inner centre of man, this centre of his being, this fountain that produces these outgoings. And God talks about where the heart is and how important it is to guard the heart accordingly. Looking at that area of the command to guard the heart, but if we could please look at Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. It's the word keep, which is protect or guard. So God, through Solomon, speaking to his son, because this is a fatherly chapter that is where Solomon is speaking to his son, and he says, my son, heed my words, heed my sayings. Son, I'm telling you, you need to guard your heart. And that's the message, keep your heart with all diligence. In the Hebrew, it's actually in reverse order. And sometimes when you're looking at a foreign language, you're looking at a reversal of the verb and the noun and the action, the phrase. But here we've got in the Hebrew, with all diligence, guard your heart. And that word, with all diligence, is that word that means confinement. It's a sense of guarding, but it's that sense of confinement. But it's a word that means guarding. And it means guarding above all else. So if you move that to beginning, which is where it is in the Greek, it's saying, yes, with all diligence, guard your heart. But it's saying, above all things you guard, guard your heart. It's coming back to that confinement. You're bringing it into focus. Of all the things you guard your heart. And Solomon is saying it to his son. Above all things you guard your heart. My son, protect your heart, because it needs to be protected, it needs to be guarded, it needs to be kept. In some countries, the highest cause of death is heart attack. and a heart attack can be fatal. For those of us who have been down a journey where we've had to look at our heart and been to cardiologists and the message is given, you should consider about not doing that and doing this and taking this and doing those measures that will keep your heart, because you might have a sore finger, it can be treated, a sore arm, it can be treated, a sore leg, it can be treated, but once it hits the heart, it can be fatal. In battle, the warrior had protective armor around his heart. There was a matter of guarding the heart anyway, keeping the heart, protecting the heart, because it was the center, and the wound inflicted in the heart could be deadly. And the warriors knew that. They knew that. They might be able to persist and go on if it's another limb or part of the body, but if it was the heart, it would be fatal. The heart must be guarded above else. You might guard money, house, cars, belongings, business, whatever, but above all things, with all diligence, guard your heart. As the heart is the center of man's inward life, and we'll see more of that, that is that center. The heart is the center, and it's the center of man's inner life. But with that center, we've got to ensure that that personal life is kept guarded. And God is saying that this needs to be the case, because it's from this center that actions flow. And that heart must be guarded and kept pure. What is in the heart will determine your actions and ultimately the course of your life. And I've seen that. I've seen ultimately the course of people's lives have been affected because of what was in the heart and the actions that flowed from what was in the heart. So the message comes, my son, keep your heart with all diligence. The reason or importance to guard your heart, for out of it are the issues of life. And this is where that spring, that wellspring, that fountain, that picture of that fountain or reservoir is there, that center of man's inner man, woman's inner man, but it's that center of mankind's inner man. But the issues are the outgoings, or the goings forth out of the heart, that which exits the heart. It's that which flows from the heart. In our Bibles we read, for out of it are the issues or the outgoings of life. And it makes sense. Guard your heart with all diligence, for the goings forth out of that heart, that's the issues of life. So keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the outgoings of life. And we're going to see that that which is in the heart will be outgoing. The heart is that core center, wellspring, reservoir, fount of life from which the outgoings flow. And it's like having that reservoir or that dam, and that which flows forth out of it is that outgoing from that well. And it's going to be the condition and the nature and the purity of that reservoir that's going to count in the outgoings that go forth. The reservoir, the fountain, must be kept pure, clean, fresh. Otherwise, it will be contaminated, and that which flows from it will likewise have that pollution. Evil and defilement flows from within the heart of man. If we could please turn to a few scriptures we're going to come back to Proverbs, but in Mark chapter 7, verses 21 to 23, there were those saying to Jesus, as that which entered the heart was that which polluted man. It's that which entered man from the externals polluted man. But Jesus is coming home with the point, it's that which cometh out of the man that defileth the man. Verses 21 to 23, for from within out of the heart of man proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. These are the things that are coming from within, from that inner heart of man. It's coming from his heart, because that's where those desires, intents, purposes, will is being expressed, is from his heart. Likewise, in Matthew chapter 15, verses 18 and 19, we have this same thought. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they'll defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These things are the things which defile a man. They're coming from within. It's not an external thing that is defiling a man, God is saying in these passages. It's that which is coming from within where the defilement is. And that's why Solomon is saying to his son, my son, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the outgoings of life. The example here, it's what's coming out of the heart of man. These things are coming out of the heart of man, because these intents are in the heart. And so there's that matter of guarding the heart to ensure that these things are not there within the heart. Matthew chapter 12, verses 34-36. Speaking to the Pharisees, a generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. Again, bringing out that point, man speaketh out of the abundance of the heart. Where did that come from? In his mouth. It came forth from his heart. I know it was expressed from his lips in his mouth, but yet it came from his heart. And those seeds had been sown in his heart, and that was where that person was. And so Solomon is saying, son, guard your heart, for out of it are the outgoings of life. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Because the good man out of the good treasure of the heart will bring forth good things, but the evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. It comes back to the condition of the heart. Comes back to the state of the heart. It comes back to the state of that fountain, and the outgoings are affected by the condition, the contamination, that which may be within the heart. And Solomon was saying to his son, son, keep thy heart pure, keep it straight, keep it clean, keep it without pollution, my son. We read in Proverbs 23:7, for as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. It's what a man is in his heart, what he's thinking in his heart, so is he. We don't have time today, but you go back and read Proverbs 23. This is verse 7. But it's about the evil man. And it's the evil man who's conspiring to do someone in. That's what's being spoken about. And this person will say the right thing to you from his mouth, but in content, the heart is not there. So there's a different agenda in the person, because it's what's in the heart, if you follow what I mean. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So this man, Solomon is saying in Proverbs 23, has got this evil intent. And because he has that evil intent, that's what's going to come out. Something different might be said, but it's where the heart is, the condition of the heart. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. And that's in Psalm 53. It's about 5 years ago, we did a study on the heart of man in Bible study Wednesday nights, and it was there, we're looking at Psalm 10. There's about three passages where this man was conspiring, and it was the evil that was within the heart. He said in his heart that God can't see me, God won't know, I can get away with all of this, God won't touch me. And this is what the evil man was saying in his heart. That which is in his heart will come out. The one who says, the fool saying that there is no God, he's going to live out that action of an atheist, because that's what's in his heart. We've got the good tree, though, in Luke chapter 6, verses 43-45. Luke chapter 6, verses 43-45. We read there, for a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. So the good tree is going to bring forth good fruit, not corrupt fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For the thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and then evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. See, it's out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. And if it's going to be good treasure in the heart, then it will bring forth that which is good. It'll be good fruit. If in the heart there's that evil treasure, it's going to bring forth that which is evil. It's a matter of reaching the heart. I was thinking of Romans chapter 10. On this whole thought that the heart is the centre, and what is the outgoing from that centre, the heart. And in Romans 10 we read verses 9 and 10, and I'll just read a few verses, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. This is that which is positive. And if you're here today and you know not Christ, I beg of you, you need to come to this important point of believing in your heart unto righteousness, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day, and it was to save us from our sins. You need to believe that. You need to call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. But that believing is in the heart. And then confession is made from your mouth. So that which is in your heart, which is positive and good and wholesome and proper and necessary, will come forth from the heart, because confession will be made. It's a matter of reaching that heart and guarding the heart to make sure that that which goes into the heart is wholesome and proper and good to the glory of God and to his honour. As in the fountain of life, it needs to be guarded from contamination. In a village, a well will be guarded, protected, that no one pours pollutants down into that well. It has to be kept, that there's pure water. That reservoir, that well, needs to be kept fresh. A dam reservoir needs to be kept clean and pure because of the outgoings. What type of outgoings will come forth? Warragamba Dam. There'd be those quality control engineers ensuring that pollutants haven't come in from the tributaries or from wherever to pollute, contaminate Warragamba Dam, because the outgoings of that is what we're drinking daily. You and I drink here in Sydney, it's our water supply. And so there's that flow, and we've got to ensure that the reservoir is kept pure and clean. We need to guard our hearts to make sure that the outflow is wholesome. The core centre, the heart, controls what we do and say, because those thoughts and intents and so on are in the heart of man. What ways to guard the heart? Brethren, we need to attend to God's word in verse 20, and returning now to Luke chapter 4. Sorry, not Luke 4, Proverbs chapter 4. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20, it's, "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings." Proverbs 4:21, "Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those who find them, and health to all their flesh." My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Have the word of God important in your life. The word attend is to mark well, to regard, to hearken. The question's asked, where's the word of God in your life? Because Solomon is saying to his son, "My son, attend, mark well, regard, hearken, hear the words." And we can apply that to the word of God, that the word of God needs to be heard. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We need to be in the word of God. We need to be attending, regarding, seeking the truths from the word of God, and have the word of God important in our lives. "Incline thine ear," we read, "unto my sayings." So often we incline our ears to other things. Today your ears might be inclined or out in another direction. It's silent out there, but there can be noises, distractions. There can be things we might listen to or hear with our ears that are not wholesome and proper. And we need to say, "I've got to get my ears inclined to God's word. And I've got to tune out from that, as wholesome as something might be, and be in the word of God, because I've got to incline my ear to the word of God and depart not from them. Keep them in the midst of thine heart." I've got to get the word of God. I've got to get it in my heart and let it not depart from out of my life. Psalm 119, and many of you have memorized it throughout life, but verses 9 and 11 of Psalm 119, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." We've got to get God's word in our hearts. We've got to incline our ears to the word of God. If we can hear the word of God, whether it's in attendance or live streaming, we've got to hear the word of God. We can hear it on tape. If we can have someone read it to us, we've got to hear the word of God. Attend to my sayings. Don't let them depart. The word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. And we really need the word of God in our life. Put away corrupt speech. And looking at Proverbs, and these are practical ways of looking at the things that flow from the heart, and also the things that will pollute the heart if we're not careful. Verse 24, we read, "Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee." The word perverse is the word for morally corrupt, twisted. And it's those thoughts that come through with perversity and frowardness. It's that moral corruption and that twistedness. It's perverse. It's corrupt speech. It's not wholesome. And brethren, we don't want to be known as someone who speaks that gutter language. It can't be. But even more than that, it's got to be avoiding that speech that will corrupt, that will destroy, that will be crooked and twisted and affect another soul's life. And the word throughout the New Testament, it's about words that edify, that are wholesome, that are encouraging, that are godly. It's building up souls, not tearing them down. I think it can start in families, in homes, or words that children hear in the media, on TV, on the radio, or whatever, in that show, podcast. But the language, the corruption, the perversity can come through, and we've got to say, Lord, I don't want that in my heart. I want my heart to remain. I want from my lips to be pure and wholesome and godly. And if those things come before me, I've got to mortify the deeds of the flesh. I've got to put them to death. I've got to remove myself, flee from those things that are going to be that problem and cause my heart to become polluted or impure. We've got to keep those hearts wholesome so that from our heart will come that godly, edifying speech. And we pray that from the heart that would be thus. Psalm 19 and verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. That was a psalmist just praying, Lord, I want the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart to be acceptable in thy sight. And may that be the case as we look to the Lord. Verse 25, we have the thought of keeping eyes in the right direction. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Direct your eyes forward. I know, get your eyes on a target. Margaret and I, a number of years ago, went on a Captain Cook cruise. I think someone had given it to us, and it was whale watching. We'd never been whale watching. We saw a few humps, a bit of blowing, but I don't know, it was 3 hours or something. We're on the cruise ship, Sydney Harbour, you go out the heads, and everything was fine, okay? Everything was fine. Get out the heads, and the ship's starting to go like this, the waves are going like that, and there was a crewman coming around, and he was giving out if I say seasickness bags, you know what I mean. But giving out the seasickness bags, and Margaret and I declined. We were fine. We were fine. And then about half an hour later, I got impacted, okay? I was watching the waves, and I walked down the stairs to go to the bathroom, and I walked back up, and the boat was going like this, and my stomach was telling me something was going to happen. Okay, so I asked the crewman, he was still around. I said, could I please have one of those bags, thanks? Okay, so I got it. Thankfully, I didn't need it. It's still in the car glove box. That's the proof, it's still in the car glove box. But I got it. And he said to me out of the blue, he said, keep thy eyes right on. Look at the horizon. Just look at the horizon. And when I came back, I set my eyes on the horizon, okay, and life settled, okay. I was glad to be back on shore, but my stomach settled, and I was okay. But I tell you, you need at times to look right on. You need to look at, in this case, it was a horizon, but you've got to look at the right place. Direct your eyes forward. And it's got to be in a wholesome, pure direction, talking spiritually now. My son, keep your eyes in the right direction. Don't let them wander. Look right on and be not caught up and ensnared in the evil pursuits of what you may have seen. Commit it to the Lord. If something comes across your eyes, then commit it to the Lord and get away. Don't dwell. Don't set your eyes on those things. Set your eyes back onto the Lord and onto those things which are wholesome and proper and godly. That's got to be the intent of our hearts. That's got to be the intent. Because what we see, it's going to pollute the heart, and then that's going to have its impact, because the outgoings from that heart that is polluted will be impacted. As a man thinketh, then so is he. Proverbs 23:7. It's what's been planted in our hearts will end up coming forth in the outgoings. Brethren, don't cause heartache in your life. You've got to keep your eyes to the Lord and to those things that are wholesome and proper. And then finally, verse 26, ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. Ponder is the word way, and it's not way physically your feet. Be hard to do, wouldn't it, without my body? But weigh or ponder the path of your feet. But it's looking at, to weigh mentally. It's to evaluate, to ponder, to weigh mentally, to consider where your path is. Ponder the path of your feet and let your ways be established. In other words, as you ponder your paths, even today, are they in the right direction? Is ponder, weigh mentally, consider the paths of thy feet. Are they in the right direction? God is saying, my son, take heed. Ponder the path of thy feet, let thy ways be established. It's got to be paths that lead to towards a stronger and spiritual life and position. Let all your ways be established. That is, be sure, steady, and wise in the ways that you go. This same passage in verse 14, just going back a few verses, we didn't read here, but in verse 14 of Proverbs 4, the same chapter, we read, son, enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. They sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall, for they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Get your feet into that right path, that path of the just, the path that leadeth unto that perfect day. Some years ago when I was in the school, I came across a book by Frank Hamrick, and it was called The Heart of the Matter. And it was challenging because there was a big issue in schools about behaviour modification, or just change the rules, modify the child's behaviour, and it can be external, just get them walking in. And sure, rules are important, regulations are important, guidelines, class rules, school rules, they've all got to be important. They've got to be guided. There's got to be those controls. But in a lot of ways, we could see that the outward behaviour modification wasn't solving the problem of the heart. Because the heart, the child would submit and be goody-goody two-shoes while you're there watching, but as soon as your back was turned, not so. And so, you know, this child's perfect, but it's while you're watching. But it's the behaviour modification, but it really comes back to the heart. And I just pray that people can see that we've got to reach the heart. We've got to reach the heart of souls, the neighbour out there, the loved one, the child, the grandchild. We've got to reach the heart, because it's the heart is that reservoir, that fountain of life from which the outgoings go. And we've got to ensure that we've reached the heart. They've come to that saving knowledge of Christ, and they've grown in him, and they're growing in him. And that which is coming from that heart is that which is wholesome and proper and godly, because of the condition of the heart. And if the heart is in not good condition, the cardiologist might say to me physically, that heart is not in good condition. You need to do this, this, and this. But spiritually speaking, Solomon is saying to his son, guard that heart, for out of it are the outgoings of life. Hear, O my son, in chapter 4, verse 10, hear, O my son, and receive my saying, and the years of thy life shall be many. Just in conclusion, I was thinking about Psalm 139. And it's a blessed psalm. Psalm 139 talks about God knowing us. He knows our downsittings and our uprising. So we can't flee from his spirit and his presence, and God is there. God is there. God knows all things. But the psalmist David, with a heart of sincerity and passion, is saying in verses 23 and 24 of Psalm 139, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And I really believe that's a very honourable prayer that we should pray. Lord, see if there be any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting. Because, Lord, I've prayed, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. It's God we need to look to and ask him to search our hearts and to know our thoughts and lead us in the way everlasting. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the outgoings of life. And we need to ensure that we guard above all things, guard your heart. It's important, brethren. And it's not just our hearts, it's the hearts of our children, the grandchildren. And we can't replicate that into them, because they've got their own heart. But we've got to pray for God's grace, God's power, God's might, God's ministry, for eyes to be opened, that the heart might be reached towards God. If you're here without Christ, we just pray that you'll come to know Christ as your personal saviour from sin. If you don't know Christ, please speak to one of us afterwards. This hymn in the we're going to sing now, Search Me, O God. But in this hymn, there are three verses. In another account of this same hymn, there are more verses. And there was one verse in that I read as I was reading different verses in that hymn, Search Me, O God. We read, search all my thoughts, the secret springs, the motives that control, the rebel heart where evil things hold empire or the soul. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We need to guard it. We need to control it. We need to steer it towards God. We need to feed our hearts with the word of God and with things that are wholesome. It's got to be for God and for his glory and for his honour. Search me, O God, and know my thoughts. And may it all be to his glory and to his honour. Let's stand on the introduction to sing.